it is Mother's Day, and I knew it would be in the middle of my prayer series, so I thought I'd just combine the two for today, because I don't want to let Mother's Day go. I do know that it's not the easiest of days for some people, the way it is for me, and I'm always mindful of that. Every church I've been in has ladies who want to be mothers but can't, and they get reminded of that this day of the year. Or you didn't have a good relationship with your mother, and you still don't, and you get reminded of that, too. Or you lose your mother, as Larry Walker in the last service did, and we'll have her funeral in Muncie on Tuesday. Or you say goodbye to your wife, like Jeff Canada did, and Gloria's funeral will be here on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. So it's not always the easiest, and it puts me in an awkward spot, because I've done nothing through the years but brag on my mom. And I do that with great joy, realizing not everybody's in tune to this and has the same situation I do. So I want to touch on moms, prayer in the middle, and moms at the end. But let me review from last week, because it's important that these all step and build together. Last week we talked about how we should pray, not just praying more, but praying right. You pray according to the will of God. You pray the prayers the early saints prayed. You pray with expectation that God will enjoy giving you gifts that a father gives his children. Next Sunday, probably the key message in the series, I want to talk to you about why prayer is so awkward, and it should be. But today, prayer and blank. Let's start with some pictures of some famous mothers. You tell me who they are, all right? Shout it out. Princess Di, okay? That's Naomi Judd. I called her Winona in the first two services. That's Naomi. How about this one? Angelina Jolie. Jackie Kennedy. Barbara Bush. Seriously, that's my mom. I thought for sure in unison, everybody'd shout, Rose Fugate, the most famous of all mothers. Hey, moms aren't great with technology either. I don't know if you ever saw some of Jimmy Fallon's hashtag, Mom Said. Here's a few to kick us off this morning. I once got a text from my mom where you're amazing auto-corrected to you're adopted. I'm single. My mom said, if you feel lonely, dim the lights, put on a horror movie. You won't feel like you're alone anymore. Ask my mom who she likes more between me and my brother. She replied, I actually don't like either one of you. Be nice to your brother. You might need one of his kidneys one day. Instead of LOL, my mom will text OTAH, which according to her stands for, oh, that's a hoot. My mom frequently forgets the name of cargo shorts and calls them purse pants. My mom sent me a text saying, I love you with a poop emoji at the end of it. I asked why she sent the emoji, and she said, I thought it was a Hershey's kiss. My mom meant to say butt dial, but instead she said, Grandma Booty called me today. My mom has some quotes, too, that have stuck with me. A couple of them that I pull out about every Mother's Day. I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford, then I want to move in with them. And this is my favorite. If you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it was and always will be yours. If it never returns, it was never yours to begin with. If it just sits in your living room, eats your food, messes up your stuff, takes your money, and never behaves as if you set it free in the first place, then you either married it or gave birth to it. I'm pretty sure my mom didn't have time to write poems. If she did, she would have written this one called Don't Mess With Mom. My son came home from school one day with a smirk upon his face. He decided he's finally smart enough to put me in my place. Guess what I learned in civics class? It's taught by Mr. Wright. It's all about the law today, the Children's Bill of Rights. It says I need not clean my room. I don't have to cut my hair. No one can tell me what to think, what to speak, what to wear. I have freedom from religion, and regardless of what you say, I do not have to bow my head. You cannot make me pray. I can wear earrings if I want and pierce my tongue and nose. I can read and watch just what I like, get tattoos from my head to my toes. If you ever spank me again, I'll charge you with a crime, and I'll back it up, all the charges, with the marks on my behind. Don't preach about your morals like your mama used to do. That's nothing more than mind control. That's illegal, too. Mom, I have these children's rights, and you can't influence me, or I'll call Children's Services Division, better known as CSD. Of course, my first instinct as his mom was to toss him out the door, but the chance to teach him a lesson was appealing even more. I mulled it over carefully. I couldn't let it go. A smile was painted on my face. This kid's messing with a pro. The next day, I took him shopping at the local Goodwill store. I told him, pick out all you want, shirts, pants galore. I've called and checked with CSD. They said they didn't care if I bought your Kmart shoes instead of Nike Airs. I canceled your appointment to take your driver's test. I checked with CSD. They said do what I thought was best. I said no time to stop and eat or pick up stuff to munch, and tomorrow you can learn to make your own sack lunch. Just save that raging appetite and wait till dinner time. We're having liver and onions. It's a favorite dish of mine. He asked, can I please rent a movie to play on my VCR? I said, sorry, didn't I tell you? I sold your TV to put tires on my car. I also rented out your room. You'll take the couch instead. I checked with CSD. They said just put a roof over your head. I'm selling off your jet ski, your dirt bike, and your rollerblades. Check out the parents' bill of rights, buddy boy. It goes into effect today. Hey, hotshot, why are you crying? Are you seriously down on your knees? Are you asking God to help you instead of CSD? Now, I'm going to give you a word, and I want you to immediately tell me the word that goes with it. And that'll kick us off into the prayer discussion. Batman and? Bacon and? Bread and? Good for you. Somebody in your first service said bread and water. I guess they've been in jail. I don't. Who says bread and water? Salt and? Hamburgers and? Okay, I'll say French fries. Macaroni and? Fish and? Meat and? Thunder and? Rock and? Spaghetti and? Peanut butter and? Coffee and? I'd have said donuts. That's all right. Liver and? Now try this. Prayer and? Why did it get so quiet all of a sudden? What is it that goes with prayer? That just right off the top of your head makes prayer powerful. Prayer and blank. Hey, the Bible has some help with this. These aren't ones I'm going to touch. Watch and pray, pray and work, pray and wait, pray and believe, pray and persevere. All good, but I want to take you quickly through four case studies where it tells us how to fill in the blank in four different ways. All right? And I'll share them all, and then we'll go one at a time. Case study number one, a man with a very sick son. His son had a demon. The family had done everything in their power to help, but he only got worse. They took him to the doctor, prayed for him, and not even Jesus' disciples could help. That's number one. Number two, just a couple of preachers doing their jobs. They get in trouble for it. They're attacked, beaten with rods, thrown into prison, and locked down, no way out. Case study number three, church is growing. People are being saved. Some things aren't getting done. People are being neglected, complaining, and the church leaders know something has to change. Case study number four. He's a good, devout man. Problem was, he wasn't one of God's chosen people. At least, he didn't think he was because he wasn't a Jew. How could he ever discern whether or not he would be accepted by God? Now, I want to cover these, and I wanted to take a month to cover this subject because we are in a time that calls for a more advanced understanding of the practice of prayer. Because it's not going to be politics, it won't be policy, it's not going to be power plays, not going to be pink hats, and it's not going to be pop culture that delivers us from the situation we find ourselves in. It will be prayer. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is near, therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Quite a warning. So let's take these case studies and fill in the blank, prayer and. Case study number one, a man with a very sick son. We find that in Matthew chapter 17. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. Imagine being in this position. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of the boy. He was healed at that moment. So the disciples couldn't do it. Jesus did. They get their feelings hurt, like, what gives with this? How come you could do it, but we couldn't? And they pull Jesus aside, and they ask him some questions, and here's our first prayer and. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Here it goes, but this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. There's your first prayer and. And I can see the wheels turn. Seriously, on Mother's Day, prayer and fasting. Doesn't he know we got a big lunch prepared today for Mom and all the prayer and fasting? Let me talk to you about this for just a moment. There's a big difference between just giving up food and biblical fasting. For most of us, the only fasting in our lives is fast food. If you've ever had surgery, you've been told to fast for a time period. I was amazed. I asked how many in the first service have had surgery where you couldn't eat anything the night before. Looked like every hand went up. Same in the second. So I'm inclined to ask in this service too. How many of you have had surgery where you couldn't have anything to eat the night before? Look at the, it's almost everybody. Never me until that stupid colonoscopy thing. Seriously. Oh, you're over 50. It's time. Man, oh man, you lose every bit of pride you ever had going through that. You lose everything else too, don't you? It's terrible. I wouldn't have minded drinking all that stuff the night before if I could have washed it down with a double cheeseburger. That's not how it worked. That's not biblical fasting. It's more than abstaining from food. It's a focused time. Select period of time where you focus on denying yourself so that your attention can be given to God, because you have an issue of great weight on your heart that you want God to deal with. That's different than just giving up food for a while. Because even as words without work is just talk, and sacrifice without love is wasteful, and prayers without sincerity are just words, and communion without a purpose is just a snack, and giving without the right motive is just a tax deduction, and baptism without faith is just going for a swim, and singing without heart is just noise. Fasting without understanding and prayer and focus, it's just a headache, a hard diet, and a growling stomach. That's all it is. I've made sacrifices without a lot of heartfelt thought or self-denial. I'm not one to give up things for Lent. I've not been one to practice that particular discipline. Although, and I don't want to brag, the last few years I decided to give some things up. I've given up Chinese food. I've given up any association with cats. I've given up all green vegetables. I've given up Bette Midler CDs, decided to never listen to them. And I decided I'll give up Purdue basketball games too. Some serious self-denial going on right there, huh? Listen, if you decide to fast and nothing changes in your routine and it's not accompanied by prayer and focus, call it what it is. It's a short-term diet. But when prayer and fasting are combined, something powerful happens. How often? Do a little self-examination now. Look back this past week. Can you even point to a time where there was an example of self-denial in your world that week, in your personal life, where it was not about you for that moment? It was about someone else, other people, people you don't know or people you're related to or God, where it was complete self-denial and others' focus. We don't have those moments because we want what we want, how we want it, when we want it, and we want it right now. I'm not the judge. I'm thankful. But I wonder, when push comes to shove, how many people in a church building on Sunday have a vibrant relationship, a communicative relationship with God, where they talk to Him, listen to Him, and they converse on a daily basis? I have to wonder. A buddy, Carl, told about a man who was walking to a masquerade party dressed up as the devil. And he's walking down the road, and it starts to rain, and he needs a place to duck in out of the rain, so he does into this little building, happened to be a little country church, in the middle of a revival. Can you imagine the devil showing up in the middle of a country church revival? It caused commotion. Guy came in with his devil outfit on, people going outdoors, windows, any way to get out of there. an elderly lady up front tried to get out, but her dress got caught on the pew. So she's stuck as the devil's bearing down on her. He gets closer. She throws up both arms and said, "Listen, I've been a member of this church for 45 years, but I've been on your side all along." One of the telltale signs of whose side you're on relates to this area of prayer. We need to get back to the biblical pattern rather than just beginning a meeting with it, starting supper with it, now I lay me down to sleep with it, and have this relationship where I talk to God every day and I listen for God to speak to me. Some of you have big decisions to make soon. My suggestion? Prayer and fasting. You're dealing with an incredibly difficult situation. Some of you are. I'm not sure what I would do. But I may start with this prayer and. Some of you really want to turn something over to God. Prayer and fasting. Case study number two. A couple of preachers just doing their job in Acts 16. I love this. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell, fastened their feet in the stocks. Here's our prayer and. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Praying and fasting. Praying and singing. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Praying and singing. Psalm 100 says, "On your feet now, applaud God, bring a gift of laughter, sing yourselves into his presence." James 5, I love this. "Is any among you hurting? Let him pray. Any among you cheerful? Let him sing." And what did Jesus do before he prayed in the garden, "Let this cup pass from me," and after he instituted the Lord's Supper and prayed there? Prayer there, prayer in the garden, but something happened in between in that time. Anybody know? What did Jesus do? When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Songs are powerful, powerful, have the ability to spiritually move you. And I know not everybody can sing. I threw in an illustration just for Derek, because I like Derek a lot. He'll know who this is if you don't. Y'all tell me who that is. Buddy the Elf. You know him by his first name. Very good. He's all about singing. At one point in the movie, Buddy the Elf looks at his girlfriend and says, "Sounds like somebody needs to sing a song." And his girlfriend says, "I don't sing." And Buddy says, "The best way to spread Christmas cheer is to sing a song for all to hear." And then he tells her, he describes what singing is. He says, "Singing is just like talking, except longer and louder, and you move your voice up and down." Now, I had a roommate my junior year of college. I don't know, Chip, if you know him or not. John Manier was his name. He could not sing a lick. And he would sing in our dorm room all the time. And to make it worse, he would sing with the earbuds in to where you couldn't hear the music. You ever hear somebody sing with the earbuds in when you can't hear the music? Even if they're good, they're not good. And John was not good. He said when he was a kid and he would sing in the house, his mom would go outside. And one day it hurt his feelings, and he asked her, "Why do you go out? Don't you like my singing?" And she said, "Of course I do, honey. I want to make sure the neighbors know I'm not beating you." I want to approach this straightforwardly, because I've been singing right out of the womb. And I love music. And as much as I love it, and I like it to be good, I like it to be on key, in tune, sound nice, have harmony, I've never, ever wanted to turn church worship into entertainment. Never. Even though, I'll tell you, half my life feels like they've made me the entertainer. We've turned church into like a theater experience, where, except we don't sell popcorn in the lobby. And you just come in and you get your seat and you see, well, how good's the show today? I've never wanted that to happen. I've been around great musicians, great singers, but I'll tell you, no one blessed my heart like a young man in Bright, Indiana named Bob Faust, who couldn't sing a lick. He asked me if he could give a testimony on a Sunday morning, and I said, sure, Bob, because I trusted what Bob would say. He got up, he's so nervous, and he tried to share, and then he started crying, and he said, you know what, I just need to pray. And then he prayed, and it was just him talking to God as if we weren't even there. And then he said, I need to sing because I don't have the words. And he sang. And I kind of looked around, and for some people it was awkward because it was awful if you're judging him on singing. But man, the more I listened and the more heart he put into it, I'll be honest with you, I'll never forget his song. It conveyed exactly what he was feeling, and while it was awkward to a lot of people, it wasn't to me. It was heartfelt, it was worshipful, it was inspiring, and I'll never, ever, ever forget what he sang. Powerful when you put prayer and singing together. Prayer and fasting, prayer and singing. Case study number 3. Church leaders can't get anything done, people being neglected, the complaining starts. That's in Acts chapter 6. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, give our attention, here it is, to prayer and the ministry of the word. These two are inseparable. When we open our mouth and speak to God, he opens his word and speaks to us. I had a youth minister once that was impactful to me before I went to to school in Cincinnati. And he'd take verses from the Bible, and then he would put names of us kids in his youth group into the verses and pray them that way. It was kind of cool. For instance, like John 3:16 would not be for God so loved the world, but it'd be for God so loved Mark and Jody and Stanley that he gave his. And he'd do that with other verses. And it made it real. I pray I will never stop doing good to Jared, Jasmine, Buzz, Jayla, and I'll inspire them to fear me so they will never turn away from me. Here's another one. I will instruct and teach Craig and Josh and Sam in the way they should go. I will counsel them with my loving eye on them. So then I pray just as Kurt and Bob and Rita receive Christ Jesus as Lord, I pray they continue to live their lives in him. And then here's one I'd ask you to pray for me. I pray, Father, protect Mark by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that Mark and you may be one as we are one. This practice of prayer and scripture ensures that the conversation is not just one way. How rude is it to try to have a conversation with someone and they do all the talking? You ever experienced that? I just saw 3 elbows fly. You do experience that, don't you? Well, how rude is it to carry on a conversation with God Almighty, and it's a one-way conversation? I was on an airplane heading to Chicago from Cincinnati, which is a short flight, and I sat down by the sweetest elderly lady, and all the talking I got to do from Cincinnati to Chicago was to say, hi, I'm Mark, what's your name? And she told me, and boom. I never got to say another word. Hour and a half, she takes out this accordion photo album thing out of her purse, and she lets it fall from here to the floor, grandkids. And she wants to tell me about every grandkid. I know their hobbies. I know which ones sleep good at night and which ones don't. I know what they eat. And I mean, she just can't stop. And I never, ever got to interject or say anything. It was kind of awkward. The pilot comes on and says, we're about to descend. We'll be landing soon. And she realizes, this sweet old lady, that she had dominated the conversation. So she apologizes. She said, I've done all the talking, and I'm so sorry. I know you certainly must have something to say, so please tell me, what do you think of my grandkids? My turn. Half the equation, Lord, hear me. Equally important, Lord, speak to me. Prayer and scripture. Prayer and fasting, prayer and singing, prayer and scripture. Close with number 4. a good man, just not one of God's chosen. Acts chapter 10. Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, prayed to God regularly. One day at 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, here we go. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial before God. Prayer and giving. This guy's not even a Christian yet. And his prayer and his gifts have been noticed by the Lord. There's a combination of power when you put prayer and giving together. If I'd have ran this sermon outline by my preacher buddies, you know what they would have said? You're going to talk about fasting and you're going to talk about giving on Mother's Day? Are you crazy? And I would respond to them the way my Mamaw Fugate would respond when somebody complained about her zeal for the Lord. You know what she'd say? She'd say, honey, don't blame me. Blame Jesus. Well, honey, don't blame me. Blame Jesus. Jesus said when you fast. Jesus said when you pray. Jesus said when you give. He didn't say if you do. He simply said when you do. There's a powerful relationship between giving and prayer, and I would encourage you to tap into that power. So there it is. Next time somebody gives you choices, bread and butter, salt and pepper, fish and chips, prayer and fasting, prayer and singing, prayer and scripture, prayer and giving. Powerful combinations. In the last 3 years, more and more sons of Colombian mothers have joined the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, fighting in the jungle. This past year, 30 Colombian mothers got together in an ad campaign to get their sons to come home. All over Colombia, there were flyers made with pictures of mothers holding pictures of their sons who were now soldiers. The hope was the soldier would see his mom holding the picture, and that would be enough to motivate him to put down his weapon and come home. And that's exactly what happened. Along with the picture of the mothers holding the pictures was this campaign slogan, powerful. Before you were a soldier, you were my son. Please come home. And there were other messages put out by these mothers for their sons, one of which we'll close with today. Until you return, I'll be right where I was the day you left, on my knees, praying for you to be safe, to be brought back home. A few years ago, I went to see my mama. I was down. She's always had great advice. She's able to take the edge off of whatever's going on. The only time I ever remember being nervous all my life was the first night of our high school musical. I mean, I'd sang in churches and stuff ever since I was little. This was different. I don't dance. And it makes me nervous. And I had to for this musical. And I really was nervous. And other people are dependent on me to move right and be in the right place. And it kind of got to me. And my mom's backstage with me. And she's really helping at first. She says, this is the biggest crowd we've ever had, Mark. And, okay, thanks. She said, well, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm nervous. I said, what if I screw it up? Mama Rose puts her hands on my shoulders, looked at me in the eye, said, listen to me. You're a Fugate. We always screw it up. Took the edge right off. I'd been here a couple years, and honestly, I didn't know what I was going to do, didn't know if I wanted to be y'all's preacher, didn't know if I wanted to preach, period, didn't know what I wanted to do. I was hurting. I was alone. A lot of it's self-induced pain, but pain nonetheless, and I didn't know. I didn't know. I was too old to be going home to my mom, but that's what I did. And I sat down with her on the couch. It was a Sunday afternoon. We weren't going to have service here in the evening. So I took off after church, and I said, Ma, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I really don't know. I'm feeling like I just want to do something else. I don't know. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like anybody's going to give me the time of day to listen to what I have to say because I screwed everything up so badly. And dealing with rumors that were hurtful, and I didn't know how to deal with them except to get defensive. It's a bad time. And she went through this highlight reel of my life like only a mom can do. And said, listen, honey, you've done this, and you've done this, and you've been here, and you baptized this guy, and you sang to this crowd, and you preached over here, and trying to make me feel better. And then, and I've told you this, I think, imagine your mom saying this. She said, Mark, listen, and this is honest. The best thing I ever did for God was to give birth to you. That put me in my place. Exactly what I needed to hear. And then she said, do you know, Mark, I've spent more time talking to God about you than I've spent talking to you about you. And it's true. Prayer and mom. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and singing. Prayer and scripture. Prayer and giving. Ultimately, what it comes down to is prayer and you. Amen.